Welcome to Comics Talk Comedy with your hosts, Jeffrey Bilodeau and Jesse Egan.
All right. It's another week. Yeah. That's Jesse back in studio. Finally decided to join us.
Good to be here, Jeff. Nice to see you.
Yeah. Buddy. Did you have a good holidays?
I did. I went home to D.C. for Christmas and saw the family, my 93-year-old grandmother. And
93.
And my almost one-year-old, my one-year-old niece.
Nice.
So both ends of the spectrum.
Did you do any shows out there?
I did not do any shows.
But you went to a show, right?
I did. I went to see Rory Scovel at the D.C. Improv.
How was the show set up there?
It was a standard thing where the opener did like 15, then the feature did 20, 30, and then headliner did 45 to an hour, something like that.
And how was he?
Rory was good. He came out really strong, like really wild, singing, crazy. Mm. And then the set sort of, it was very funny to me, but it kind of petered by the end. He didn't have like a huge close.
Mm-hmm.
So I was surprised at that he didn't have like a closing bit that was like as strong as how he opened.
Right.
But the open seemed ad-lib, and he did a lot of fooling around and stuff, which I really liked.
It didn't really relate to the crowd.
No, they liked him, but it was just like you expected the headliner to sort of have a big closer,
mm-hmm.
and he just kind of like, well, that's enough, all right, see ya, and it was done.
Okay.
And so I was like, I could do that, you know? But,
well, he's really experimental, right?
I liked it, yeah. I liked it a lot. The opener and the feature were like, meh, we didn't really laugh too much.
Mm-hmm.
Although
they weren't local guys, they weren't bad.
Yeah. They were local. One of them was like a radio personality there.
Okay.
And you could tell they were like experienced comedians. But it was just a little too formal, formatted kind of for me. Like I liked his stuff better because it was more experimental.
Okay.
So it was just more fun.
All right.
And the crowd liked him much better.
All right. Have you been on stage since?
Since then, yeah, we did our show at the Space Bar for New Year's Eve.
Oh, that's right. That was fun.
That was fun.
Believe it or not.
We did our tandem thing for about
38 minutes.
38 minutes. There it is.
We went about 12 before we even told the joke.
That's true. That was really fun.
Yeah.
I like that. But I always think it's hard to, like, go into regular standard material after we've done that much crowd work.
I wish we would have filmed that one. I think that we really did it well, though. Because kind of we're figuring out how to set each other up so it doesn't sound like a pre-rehearsed joke.
Yeah, which surprises me because I thought it was going to be the biggest nightmare ever.
Well, but that's Space Bar.
It was really fun, though.
Yeah.
it was really enjoyable.
It was good. And then you got a little sauced up on New Year's.
Yeah, I drank too much. I'm still not feeling right.
Really?
Yeah, I'm going to stop drinking for a while.
Yeah?
Yeah, I think I damaged something inside deep in there.
Your soul.
One of the organs is not working right.
And then we did a roast last night.
Yeah, roasted Dewey Bratcher. That was hilarious.
It was
so
good.
Fun. And he's such a good sport. I mean, to sit up there and just get abused for an hour like that.
Well, I think everyone gets abused.
Though. Everyone got abused. But to be like the man of the hour where everyone focuses more on you and really, you know. I mean, I think people made fun of everyone equally. But man, he has to wait. Until the very, have the rebuttal at the very end.
Right.
And at that point, it's like the crowd's a little worn out from all the insults. So he has the toughest spot.
Right.
You know what I mean? But yeah, it was really fun.
My favorite part about the roast is that no one really said anything nice to him at the end of their set.
Normally,
I did too. And the crowd was like, oh. Like,
yeah, they were like, oh. They thought we were being sarcastic. But there were some really good lines in there.
Yeah.
I think it was Adam Wolpe when he said that Ric Flair looked like a baked potato with a criminal record.
Yeah.
That cracked me up. I mean, it was so funny. There was a bunch of good
Barbara
lines.
Barbara had a good one, too, that after the show, Nick had to go home because Willy Wonka is really strict. he looks like a Oompa Loompa.
There was some really good stuff. Yeah.
It was fun.
What other shows? Did you have any other shows this week?
We did Space Bar on Wednesday, and then I did The Store on Thursday.
How was that?
It was weird. It started off really slow. Actually, Gordon opened them up, Gordon Downs,
mm-hmm.
but he ran the light by about 8 minutes. He did 15, and old man Albert was getting mad. He was flashing him and everything, and yelled at him to get off the stage.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Gordon knows full well that you can do almost anything at the Comedy Store at this point.
Yeah, it just doesn't matter.
It's no one cares. They're out to lunch, I guess, at this point, right?
Yeah.
If they got Albert trying to reel things in, then, yeah, it could be more tight. Tighter run ship, but that's kind of nice to know.
Right.
You can do it. I'll sign up this week.
But I'm begging to get the light when I'm up there most of the time. Right. I'm just looking over. Just light me. Get this over with.
Yeah, that's funny.
All right. Well, enough of our little banter. Yeah. Let's bring in our guest, Heather Turman.
Heather Turman, everybody.
How are you?
Good. How How are you guys?
Good, good. You can adjust the mic if
you want. Oh, yeah, you get it close to that thing.
Okay.
Nice to see you.
Oh, cool. I have no idea.
In person. I've never met you before.
I know. I haven't met you either.
Yeah. We're face pals.
Yeah.
But that's, you know, then you don't really know someone.
That doesn't really count.
No.
So how was your, did you have a good holidays?
I did, yeah.
You said you went out to Florida?
I did. I went and saw my family in Florida, which I'm not usually close with my family, so it's always sort of weird at first, you know?
Right. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Is it your whole family's there, or what?
Yeah, my parents have a place down there.
Is that where you're from?
No, I'm from Michigan.
Oh.
Yeah, so they just got this place a couple years ago, so.
They moved from Michigan to Florida?
Just during the winter. You know how it is.
Oh,
yeah. Birds when you get older.
Do they not work?
They have a business, so they can kind of take off.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
What's their business?
A tool and die company. Do you know what that is?
No. Tool and die?
Tool and die. I don't even... He, makes parts for cars, that kind of stuff.
Okay. What's the die thing?
I have no idea.
Okay.
I have no idea.
Is it D-I-E or D-Y-E?
Yes, D-Y-E.
D-Y-E. Like dying stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Does he paint the tools?
No, I don't know what they do. They make parts, yeah.
They make parts.
That's it.
Okay.
Did you do any shows out in Florida?
No, I didn't. I thought about it. I actually came across a couple and thought about it, but I didn't want to run the risk of my family trying to show up to one of the shows.
I know.
Have they ever seen you do comedy?
Yeah, my dad has a few, and my sister has a bunch of times. But, you know, grandparents were in tow, and it's just...
Mm-hmm. You don't want
to
hear your...
Little too modern for their taste.
Right. Do you change up your act when you have family there?
If my mom came, yes. She's the...
Your parents like comedy?
Yeah. And my dad's like, say anything you want. You know what I mean?
Right.
He's like, say whatever the hell you want. And
My parents love Bob Newhart. They listen to Bob Newhart the whole trip. He's like, if he talks to one more imaginary person on the phone, I'm going to fucking flip. I can't take Bob Newhart anymore. I'm telling you.
I've never heard a man get angry about Bob Newhart.
That's so funny.
Bob. Fuck off, Bob.
Jesus.
It's different.
So funny.
It's just the same bit.
How do you feel about Bob Hope?
Bob Hope, he's a good golfer.
Bob Saget?
I don't know.
Just Bob Newhart.
Bob Newhart, it just annoyed me because my mom played him for the whole trip. And I was just
Sam, can we cue up some Bob Newhart so Jesse shoots himself in the head?
God, it's so annoying. It's that same thing. I get it already.
Yeah.
You're on the phone with someone.
I get it. That's the thing. That's the thing about comedy. You become one of those, you know?
One of those people that just
we get
hates?
It already. Yeah. No, where everyone's like, we get it.
I mean, if the
we
bit
get
is
it
the
already.
Same every bit,
I know.
We do. It's
yeah.
like, come on.
I know.
Yeah. But
I've never heard Bob.
You never heard Bob Newhart?
No.
Well,
he had a show though, right?
Yeah.
Now he wants to bring one up to show you.
Listen, he's a veteran. Everyone looks up to him.
Is he still alive?
I don't think so.
Yeah, Sam says yes.
He is?
Big Bob Newhart fan.
Bob's on the phone with him right now. Sam's in there talking to him
making
Bob Newhart.
Yeah, fake phone calls. So you said you did a couple of shows in Vegas?
Yeah, yeah, at a gentleman's club.
Whoa.
A strip club?
Yeah, strippers brought me up on the stage.
Like carried you?
Like followed me, and one of them was not wearing clothes. She just had painted underwear and stuff. And so
dyed.
She threw real underwear down my shirt.
She threw underwear down your shirt?
Yeah, pretty much. One
Did
of them like opened
the
it and she like threw it in.
Did you keep the underwear?
Yeah.
No, these are stripper underwear.
Oh, you weren't like, sweet, paid gig.
Yeah, they paid me in stripper panties.
Oh.
Yikes. How did that go?
It was weird. It was all right. I mean...
When they paid you at the end, did they just rain crumpled dollar bills?
I almost would have rathered... gotten paid from the audience like a stripper, I think. If you're going to perform at a strip club, that's how they should do it.
Right.
That's my time. Now let me sweep up my chips.
So, how did you even get that gig?
I don't know. I think the guy just like hit me up and was like, hey, do you want to perform in Vegas? I think I must have gotten referred by a couple other comics, but...
Okay.
Did he say perform in Vegas like he thought you were going to come strip, or he knew you were?
No, he knew. But when I first got there, it was funny because one of the owner or like one of the managers of the place was like, "Are you dancing tonight?" And I like was like, "No, I'm here for the comedy show." Like I would never. Like people who know me, I would never even dance in a wedding. Like, I don't dance. So it was
That's funny because most of the strippers would probably be like, I would never do stand-up comedy.
I know. Right? It's really hard because all I want to do is, like, ask them about their father. That's, like, all I wanted to do.
They probably run tool and die shops.
Oh, no.
You never know.
So how much time did you do?
I headlined, so I did, like, I did 30 minutes each. But because there was, like, a magician and a Friday and a Saturday, there was like a magician and a fire eater and
all at the strip club.
And yeah, they have like the show. And at first it was a great concept. I'm like, this is pretty cool.
That sounds like a good concept.
Yeah, but listen, but then I'm like,
the magician pulled panties out of a hat.
No, they pulled naked women out of boxes. I don't know. But like, you never mess with the energy of a comedy show. So when you throw in all of a sudden a burlesque dancer and then after somebody's done comedy and then you throw in another comedian and then you go back to somebody eating fire, like...
Yeah, it's all screwed up.
It's all screwed up. Mm-hmm. It's terrible. People don't understand that.
Yeah, people don't understand that. Yeah. That there's a flow to the comedy show, that you build up some momentum.
Yeah.
Instead, they like to do, all right, we're going to start with a band and then we're going to have magic. And
no.
It's like, it's
now, like, music and comedy shows are... sometimes can be really awesome, but you have to do comedy first and then put on the music so everyone can mingle after the show.
Yeah. Were there a lot of gentlemen at the show?
Yeah, old, weird, creepy gentlemen. It was just, I totally regret it. Yeah. I regret making the drive. Yeah, I totally do.
Did you get paid?
Yeah, I got paid.
How much?
Like $100 a show, which was cool.
Good.
I know, it's great.
But the gas money and all that?
Gas money, paying for my own hotel. Yeah. I should have stayed in town and... You know what I mean?
So they do comedy like every week?
Yeah.
Oh, that sound means we're going
every week. 30 seconds.
She looked around like, what's going on?
That's what I thought.
We're cutting you off. But all right, we got to go to break here. We got more with Heather Turman when we come back. You're listening to WSRadio.com, the worldwide leader in internet talk. We'll be back in 3 minutes. So stick around for more strip club shows.
Call in toll free.
It's over.
A long intro.
Welcome to Comics Talk Comedy with your hosts, Jeffrey Bilodeau and Jesse Egan.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm never sure if he's going to say anything because the intro music takes a while. But, so Heather, so you did that gig, and then you said you haven't performed since then, huh?
Yeah, because I was gone, and now I'm leaving next week on a month-long tour, so...
Oh, where are you going?
Fucking everywhere. Yeah. Glamorous places.
Okay.
You booked it yourself, right?
Des Moines,
Omaha, Kansas City. I did, yeah.
Okay. Wait, you said I missed that. You booked it yourself?
Is
that
I did, yeah.
Okay. Is it just you going?
No, there's three of us.
Who's all going?
A comic named Jordan Peace, who I don't know. Do you know him?
Have
you
I know him. He does a lot of Tuesday shows at the store.
At the store, he does. I love Jordan. So it's him and this girl, Tara Ignatius.
And it's an all-gay tour, right?
Is that right?
Yeah.
So how do you think that's going to be received, like, in the Midwest and things?
Well, that's kind of the interesting part. We're hoping, we're documenting it. Because, and it's kind of a mix. A couple places were performing in gay bars. Like, you know, places that do drag shows and stuff. We're putting comedy shows there. Like, we've got a Hamburger Mary's in Chicago and that kind of thing.
What is it, Hamburger Mary's?
Hamburger Mary's? You've never been to a Hamburger Mary's?
I can barely hear you over Sam in the other room talking to Bob Newhart on the phone. Keep it down, Sam.
I'll just shut the door.
It's our engineer. He's having his own show in there.
Yeah, we're just going to go ahead and shut the door. But, so how many dates do you have booked?
I would even have to think. It's like, I don't know about the... It's like 13 cities, but a couple of them are more than one. Like, we'll be in Boise, Idaho for 4 days.
That is a very big gay community in Boise, Idaho.
Oh, yeah. I perform there. It's one of my favorite. People are always like, why are you so in love with Boise? I'm like, I don't know. I have so much fun every time I go.
It's a great place. Yeah. You're going to Liquid Laughs there? Is that where you're performing?
Well, Idaho Laugh Fest. They're having the whole tour there Friday and Saturday, the 10th and 11th. And then the 9th, we're performing at Liquid Laughs.
Oh, that should be great.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you did it with Vicky, right? Vicky Barbalak.
Yeah, I did it with Vicky Barbalak, and she has a pretty big gay following, too, because she's done a lot with Sean Polofsky, who also has that. And she had me feature for her. I don't know why, but it was so much fun.
Did you do Thursday through Sunday?
We did like a week of shows there. And they had a very big gay community, and they're so nice and so supportive.
They are.
And we got to hang out with a bunch of people that, like, run bars around there and stuff. And get
Yeah, like Matt
them.
Bragg. Did you go to his, that little bar?
Uh-huh.
I fucking love Boise.
Yeah. It was really fun. No, it's totally fun. Yeah, it was great. That's a terrific place to go. That's great. I want to go back. I don't know if she'll ever book me again. But see. It went really well. So
yeah,
I would hope
I'm sure.
So.
I feel like, because I know when I did it, it was really early on. It was their first year. And the type of names they're getting now is, you know, pretty ridiculous.
Right.
So I mean, I'm sure you did well. It's just like now it's like Jamie Kennedy and, you know, it's like actual huge names.
Yeah, they have big, and it's not a big room, so it's really kind of ideal for that. So the funny thing was, were you there? You've been there before.
Uh-huh.
And you know the guy they have come open up that's like 100 years? Is his name
no,
old?
No.
No, they have another guy who's like older than Sack Dave who gets on stage and he says that he used to run for governor and sell panties with his name on it to the strippers in town. He's such a character.
That is so funny.
Yeah, I forget his name, but he takes like 5 minutes to get on stage.
That's
with this cane.
All right, that's my time.
Yeah, it's really funny.
So when you approached these bars, did you say we're putting together a gay theme tour?
Yeah, well, I said, we basically put together kind of a press kit with our bios and stuff like that. And already had Idaho Laugh Fest in the bag. So we were like, we have somewhere to start. And then I got my hometown. So we were like, and we have kind of somewhere to end, which was in Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
So then it was filling in all the dates. So then I hit up, you know, every booker under the sun. And if we got a club, I tried to fill in the weeknights in between with gay bars and stuff like that. Because, you know, they're not paying us a ton. Nobody knows us. So they're like, in a lot of the places, we're working primarily off door deals. So, which... For like a niche tour like this, like a gay tour, you know, we're working with LGBT centers of all the cities to cross promote and stuff. So it shouldn't
that's smart though, having a niche like that you can use. Do you guys do merch when you do tours like that?
You know, we broached the idea of it, but it's actually really expensive. You got to have a lot of money to buy the first inventory. So we might do buttons. Cause those,
that's smart.
Yeah. So
with your faces on it?
No, it's going to be a little phrase that we came up with.
Which what is that?
Rainbow's the new black.
There it is. Very smart.
Yeah.
So
that's good because those are cheap and they're probably easy
to
carry around.
Sell them for a buck, and we can sell them for a buck. You know what I mean? And then we'll make twice our money. So
they cost what, 50 cents?
Yeah.
That's cool. Yeah. That's an easier thing because Jesse went out in Michigan and he was bringing. You had T-shirts?
Yeah. We all had T-shirts. Yeah. It was like five of us on this thing. And everyone had a big bag of T-shirts. It was ridiculous. So after the show, you're all trying to sell your competing shirts, and you're going to make very little money, but also have to lug around shirts.
Where were you performing at?
We performed a bunch of different places, but they were all little bar kind of things.
Did you like...
one at the Dog Story Theater in Michigan. I'd have to ask Brandon. I can't remember all the places, but there were several. We went to Oscoda.
Okay.
Michigan, which is like his hometown.
Oh, yeah, because Brandon Young.
Yeah, Brandon Young.
Okay, I always see from
part
Minnesota.
Of Michigan are you
I'm
going
from
to?
A little more south than that. It's like in between Ann Arbor and Detroit, so it's a small town, but it's also in between.
We did a place called Laugh Tracks, which was near Detroit.
Yeah, I'm performing there,
Okay.
Inside the Break Time Billiards.
Yeah, but that's a cool room.
Yeah, it is.
If there's enough, I mean, it's kind of big, but it was like a real proper comedy club.
Yeah.
If you get people in there, really fun.
Yeah.
You've done that one before?
Yeah, I've done that one other time. And yeah, because that's exactly where I'm from.
Oh, really?
Novi. So
Novi, right.
I packed it. So that's what was
great
about it.
Oh, that's awesome.
It. So you guys renting a car or are you driving someone's car?
We're driving my little Yaris.
Okay.
Yeah.
So how many have you logged how many miles are you going to put
on? Yeah, it's going to cost $750 in gas.
Okay.
$750, which when you think about the fact that it's going to be 5,000 miles.
Oh, that's amazing.
That's crazy
because
it's like a little car, it gets good gas mileage.
Yeah, that's a good way to go.
Yeah,
it's cheaper than three plane tickets back and forth.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Have you done a tour like this before?
No, I've driven from like my first paid gig was in Texas, and then I did a couple guest spots and had like a paid gig in Ohio and Michigan before. So I drove from here to Michigan for those three little paid spots because I was, you know, just trying to get my legs out there. But
okay. Right. Recommend bringing like an iPod with real music because the radio sucks everywhere
you
go.
Yeah.
And the entire tour, all we heard was I knew you were trouble when you walked in 50 million fucking times.
Did you hear any Bob Newhart?
We did listen to Bob Newhart most of the time.
That's why you hate him.
That's why I'm never tour with them.
So the other comics, they're based in L.A., I take it?
Yeah, yep.
And you're friends with them?
Yeah, yeah.
You think
I vacationed with Tara before, so at least I know. I think if you vacation with someone,
you can get along.
Yeah.
Do you think, are you afraid that the friendships might get ruined being together? Because we had somebody on a few weeks back, and he said, like, he was good friends with somebody going in, and then after, you know.
Those were some intense personalities on that trip, though.
Yeah. I mean, I think, like, with the three of us, we might drive each other crazy at a lot of points in it, but also, I feel like it'll be that thing where at the end of it, we'll always miss that. You know what I mean? It'll be like we experience camp or something together.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Right.
I feel like that'll be how it feels.
I think it's
Zach
really
said
fun.
He hasn't talked to the comic since.
Isn't that
crazy?
Yeah.
So
hopefully that doesn't happen to him.
I don't think it will, but, you know, knock on wood.
Yeah.
Think positive.
So you started comedy in L.A.?
Yeah.
And how long ago was that?
4.5 years ago.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what made you come to San Diego?
My girlfriend lives down here.
Okay.
So I came down to, because she moved from Denver to California. So I was like, well, I can fucking move 2 miles, 2 hours south if you moved from Denver.
Right.
So, yeah.
And how are you liking the San Diego scene? Because you had a bad first impression.
Well, because people thought I was like an asshole, and I wasn't.
Yeah. I remember that.
Yeah.
That was on the San Diego Comedians Facebook page.
Yeah, it was so ridiculous.
You posted something and then you got shit on by a bunch of people that were.
Yeah, well, you were suspicious
rude.
Too. Jeff was suspicious. He came to check it out. Remember? And then you were like, you did that whole scam where you already paid because Dewey gave me a 10 for both of you. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
That was hilarious.
No, I was.
Jeff's very cheap.
So yeah, that's what
part of the scam.
Yeah. I actually, on multiple occasions, started to write a Facebook message to you to say, it doesn't matter who these people are. I think I told you that.
A couple people did, that reached out that were really nice. So I was like, you know, I didn't obviously let it get to me. I still get out there and
right. Well, I think
there's good talent down here. You know, there's nice people that work hard.
What was the debate over? It was like, pay $5 to participate in the open mic and then someone wins all that money or something?
Here's exactly. So it was going to be 50-50 because they wanted, but I thought $5, like let's say we got 10 people to sign up, so it's like $50.
Right.
So the bar wanted to run like a bar tab so we could give out free shots to promote drinks.
Nice.
So they were like, you know, if we put a $25 bar tab, we just have to cover that at the end. So that's what it was going to be, was like split.
Right.
And then like everybody gave me shit, so we weren't doing it. And then I talked to the bar. I'm like, comics don't want to pay to perform unless they're going to get all the money back. And I was like, and five's kind of pricey. Let's just do like $2 and somebody wins all of it.
I remember telling our friend Bob Hansen, that's a comic in New York, about it. And he was like, they make us pay to perform all the time over here. Like
in L.A., I used to pay every week, almost every day, every afternoon.
The comics
when I first
are very
started.
Spoiled here by the scene. It's like this scene has expanded exponentially in the last couple of years where people are used to getting an incredible amount of stage time for free.
And is that show still going on?
It is, yeah. It's every first and third Tuesday. It's this Tuesday.
Okay. So. And has it gained I know that I did it, like, I think the first or second time.
Yeah, you
time.
Did it the first time.
Has you gained any, like, audience?
Yeah, a couple times.
Where is that?
It's at the Office Bar in North Park.
Okay.
And, yeah, we have pretty good following. We have a bunch of people that come every week.
That's cool.
And then we've had a couple people who've just been in the audience who have signed up the next week as like their first time doing stand-up, and that's always interesting.
Yeah, it's a good environment there.
Yeah,
it's fun. It's at 9 o'clock. You can make it, right? 9 o'clock?
Yeah.
Wow. Is somebody taking it over when you go on your little tour?
I haven't been confirmed back yet, but someone will be, yes.
Okay,
cool.
Well, we're going to go to break. We got more with Heather when we come back. You're listening to WSRadio.com, the worldwide leader in internet talk. We'll see you in 3 minutes.
Call in to talk to Sam if you want to. 866-977-2342.
Perfect. You can use this music
Welcome
for your
to
tour.
Welcome to Comics Talk Comedy with your hosts, Jeffrey Bilodeau and Jesse Egan.
All right. We're back, sir.
Sam, you're really good at that piano.
It's crushing it.
Look at him go.
All right, so you say you started 4.5 years ago in L.A.
Yeah.
When did you actually want to start comedy as opposed to, like, a lot of people, like, it takes them 6 months. What gave you the bug? Were you a big fan growing up?
Yes and no. When I came across it, like, I remember watching, like, Martin Lawrence and Ellen DeGeneres and, like, shitting my pants every time. I'm like, I really like this. You know what I mean? And I was a fan of all the sitcoms starring comedians like Grace Under Fire and, you know, Roseanne, obviously, mm-hmm. Seinfeld. And but that was always kind of my goal, was television. And that's why I moved. I moved to Los Angeles right after high school at 18. And, like,
okay.
What a mistake that was. Like, I always tell everybody. Well, because, you know, people who go to college learn who they are and then they show up there. Uh-huh. I spent the first few years learning who I was and not knowing what the hell I was doing. But I knew I wanted to be in comedy in some form, wanted to write in another form. And I knew that acting made me uncomfortable, so I knew I didn't want to do that. So I tried improv and found out I wasn't a good team player. And did some comedic plays, and then I was just kind of like, what am I missing here, you know? And I was reading a lot of books, and it just kind of hit me one day with, like, Chelsea Lately. I was like, why have I never tried stand-up? Mm-hmm. Like, I love watching stand-up. And I'd also gone through a lot of personal, like, dark moments. So I wrote 5 minutes of material that made me feel better. I was definitely one of those people that got therapy from it. Mm-hmm. And so when I performed it for my first time, it felt like the best thing ever.
And how old were you when you first got on stage?
22.
Okay. So in those 4 years, were you just trying to figure yourself out? You weren't going to school?
No. Okay. When I first moved out there, I did. I was a creative writing major at Cal State LA. I couldn't concentrate. I was in dire need of Ritalin or something. But, I quit. I couldn't do it. I was too focused on other things. So then I got sucked into the hole of trying to support myself, you know, because if I wasn't in school, my parents weren't giving me dick. And so then at 21, I was a restaurant manager at, like, a fucking place, just working full time. And
And when you first started comedy, were you out as a gay woman?
That was, like, my first, kind of what my first bit was about, was the backlash from my family.
Okay.
Oh, really?
So, yeah.
So you were already out at that time?
Yeah. I had just, I had my first girlfriend at 21.
Okay.
Yeah. But I knew at 20, but I started
dating. I always wonder about that, like, how parents can be so shitty to their kids over something like that.
God, it's so, like, black and white. Like, 180 degrees change. Yeah.
Really? You mean, like, they treated you completely differently as soon as they found that out?
My mom, yes, yeah.
Your mom, not your dad so much?
No, that's what I mean. My mom, I would have to alter my set. There's no way in hell I could ever say jokes about being gay on stage without my mom. Like the bouncer would have to come get her. Like,
you know, the stereotype is that people are more prejudiced against gay men. You know, that people will be like, oh, you know, lesbians, whatever.
Yeah.
But if my son's gay, I'll kill myself or whatever. Well, what was it? Tracy Morgan. But, I mean, that's just what you hear. I didn't realize, like, that your mom would be that
upset. I didn't either.
You're probably surprised.
I was super surprised, yeah.
Has she become more accepting as the years have passed?
No, she's still. That's the thing, is she doesn't really know that I'm in a relationship right now. It's kind of like I was trying to rebuild, like, our relationship. When my last relationship ended, she kind of started creeping back in. And so then I didn't want to.
Is there some stupid religious thing or
something?
No,
that's the thing. That's why I was so shocked. Huh. Like, I could swear, I could do everything when I was a kid. She didn't give a shit.
Do you have any brothers or sisters?
I have an older sister, 2 years older. Yeah.
Okay. So what's her objection? I mean, do you know what her problem is with
She says it's, like, goes against nature and just gets really mad about it. She's like, my mom loves to control everything. Like, and so she can't control something. Like, she literally starts, like, making ridiculous threats. Like, I don't even know.
So I guess she's not on Facebook?
No.
Okay.
No. Yeah.
Would you block her if she was?
I wouldn't. Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that tough for you? I mean, is that something, do you seek her approval? Or at this point, it's like, whatever?
I don't seek her approval, but I also want a relationship with her. So I'm definitely in that mode where I'm, like, wanting her to see that I'm still the same human I've always been.
Yeah.
And so then I can say, P.S., I'm in an important relationship, you know? So.
Have you ever dated men?
Yeah, I had a boyfriend in high school that she hated and tried to control that shit, too.
Oh. So it seems like it doesn't matter what, it's just...
I don't know. I mean, he was an asshole, but, you know, whatever.
Yeah. Is that tough for your girlfriend to accept that your mom is not accepting, or...?
I think it makes her sad that I haven't told my mom about her. I feel really bad about that. But also, because that happened to me in my last relationship. My girlfriend never told her parents the entire 4 years we were together.
Oh, wow.
We, like, lived together and just,
really?
Yeah.
Because
and
her parents
so
were
painful.
Shitty about it?
She just thought they would be. She didn't, and I think they knew, you know what I mean? Like, she was in her 30s and had never had a boyfriend, and they lived right down the street and knew we lived in a one-bedroom, but she wouldn't acknowledge me. So, so I don't want to do the same thing to my girlfriend now, you know, like, that's really shitty.
Yeah.
But because of the way my mom reacted initially, it's kind of like, I want to smooth it over as best I can before slowly, because I like hit my mom on the head with it. Like,
yeah.
I called her up and after a happy hour and she was doing, I'm like, what are you doing? She's like, oh, I'm doing a puzzle. She's doing like the most calm activity that anyone could ever do.
But and in your mind, you didn't think she was going
to. I was, yeah. Yeah. I was like, you know, you were asking me about dating and, well, I am dating someone. You know, and she's like, why can't you tell me? Is he famous? And I'm like, well, that's the thing. It's a girl. I have a girlfriend.
Did she ask if she was famous?
You just hear the puzzle go everywhere.
Yeah, basically. Basically.
Have you talked to your dad about it?
Yeah. I mean, he's was, okay like, more it. Fine. He'll make jokes, you know, and then me and my sister, like, look at him like, shut it right now.
Oh,
you
right.
know, like,
I wonder if he can work on your mom to loosen her up about that.
I think he tries, you know, the best as best he can, but.
And your sister's straight?
Yeah.
Okay. Do you think that your mom likes her more?
I was always the favorite before. Now I'm now I know she is. Yeah, it's really, that's the most annoying part.
Do you think the terms straight and gay are strange? Because I find them weird.
I find them weird, too.
I mean, it just sounds weird.
I'm
straight.
Straight.
What does that mean?
That sounds so, like, you know what I mean?
Like straight versus crooked or something.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I never looked at it that way.
Yeah, I just think that straight, it sounds strange to me. And gay, why? Where did they come up with that?
I know.
Oh, Bob Newhart's calling. Hang on a second.
Do you think you can make the phone ring any louder?
Probably. You could probably do that. Anyway, that's just my impression.
Yeah, no. Plus, I think it's totally, you know, I do believe in, like, the Kinsey scale. I think.
Maybe we should close that door again. This is my favorite show, Sam, so far.
Sorry. It's like comic talk, and I'm talking about the most depressing things.
No, we like to.
No, it's to get to know people.
Yeah.
You know, because I don't think a lot of people know you, and I think it's interesting that's another reason why I do the show, is just to get to know some more people, get to know about you.
Yeah.
You know
that's
what I mean?
Cool. Yeah.
So what was your first show in L.A.?
My first open mic was at the Ha Ha Comedy Club.
Okay.
And so I paid $5.
Okay.
And then my,
And then Michelle Wolf won
me.
That, right? Is that how that went?
No, but so
you were telling us that was during the break. You were telling us that she's won it three times.
Yeah,
three times in a row. Then they booked me for my first, their all female show, like the following week.
Okay.
And so then, because I felt like I nailed my first time on stage ever, the next time I got like shit faced and just bombed and had decided then and there I will never heavily drink before a show.
That's exactly what I did.
Yeah, I get a beer or a wine.
Uh huh.
That I can take up with me on stage, and I don't drink before that.
Okay.
Yeah, because after that, it was mortifying.
Yeah, I was kind of the same way with comedy. Like, I'll drink at Winston's, but I never wanted to become dependent.
Yeah.
Like, you know, some people need to drink in order to get on stage.
They think they do.
Right.
I think a lot of us think that when we start.
Right.
But I had the exact same experience where the first one was good. The second time I got really drunk, it was terrible.
Yeah.
So,
do you remember what you talked about your first time?
Yeah, I talked about my mom.
Okay.
And the name calling, and I still do those jokes, more advanced versions, but
okay.
Yeah.
Maybe her intolerance is what spurred you into stand-up comedy.
Probably, yeah.
How crazy.
Because she left me dead inside, so I tried to seek love from strangers.
That means she created a comedian. That's crazy. I mean, but that seems like that's a common thing, that from adversity we try to make laughter out of it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you have to, because the other option is suicide. I mean, that's just...
No, in the middle.
Stand up, kill yourself.
Yeah. So, as a woman, how do you feel about all-woman shows?
I don't like any... And I'm trying to get away from this, and this is something interesting about the tour. We're doing an all-gay tour.
Mm-hmm.
But the three of us have talked about the fact that we are all incredibly different, and we actually don't want to pigeonhole ourselves. So our goal on this is to tell jokes at gay bars, but have very little, like, we're not gay acts, you know what I mean? Because, I really don't like all 420 shows, all, you know, Mexican comedian shows, all, like, whatever. I'm just like, why do you want to watch the same shit over and over?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Why don't you...
Someone pitched me on, like, we're going to do a show called Girth with all fat comedians. And I was like, you know, to invite me to do that. And I was like, that sounds like the worst possible... How could you take that many fat jokes? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I just think that's obnoxious. Yeah. But if you only have three comics, I think it's a little different than if you're doing a showcase with, like, 10 fat guys.
Yeah, or, like, you know, maybe, like... I don't know. But why can't you just do that anyway and call it, like, the girth little something, like, put, like, three together and then have a midget comic, a fat comic, and a black comic. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah. Well, we're trying to book a midget for that. He's got to be fat.
Get Renee Lancaster to do the show.
He's not fat enough.
Did you ever do anything with Pretty Funny Woman?
Yes. Yeah, no, I haven't, but I know of it, yeah.
Okay. I think
is that a production team?
Yeah, they do a lot of stuff up in L.A.
Lisa Sunstedt runs it and basically starts a whole bunch of chicks into comedy. And
yeah, but they got to be pretty.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Okay. Well, we got more with Heather coming back. You're listening to WSRadio.com, the worldwide leader in Internet talk. See you in 3 minutes, final segment.
Smells almost like teen spirit in here.
Welcome to Comics Talk Comedy with your hosts, Jeffrey Bilodeau and Jesse Egan.
All right.
We are back. Final segment. We only got 10 minutes left.
This has gone too fast.
Goes by fast.
So much to ask you. We were talking in the break about this show, Pretty Funny Women.
Yes.
Well, it's more of a production team than a show.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
Okay. But they only book, and somebody has to judge if you're pretty enough and if you're funny enough. And if you're woman enough or
no, it's all the students from this chick Lisa does it and she teaches a class.
Okay.
So she teaches stand up comedy and all the graduates are the Pretty Funny Women.
Okay.
And technically you can get booked on it if you're not from her classes, but I actually had tried before and she said I give preferential treatment to all my students.
Okay.
So the shows are usually already all booked up.
How much does the class cost? Do you know?
I don't know.
Yeah.
But like I said, I was telling them that I saw one before at Flappers, and it was a great show. The room was packed.
Yeah.
It was all these graduates' first time on stage, on a real stage, on a real show. And, you know, I will say they all killed it. They were all really funny.
Right.
But...
Very similar.
But it was... They were all telling jokes the exact same format.
Yeah.
You know?
So you could tell, like, they'd been in a class where they had been trained to do it the same way.
Yeah.
Which is interesting to me, because in the break we were talking about that Jeff and I now teach a class at the Comedy Palace on Mondays, but we've never tried to steer anyone to do it a certain way.
Exactly.
You know, it's kind of like everyone's totally different at comedy, and you'd want the variety.
That's
anyway.
That's what's great about comedy,
yeah.
Is that nobody's supposed to be able to tell your jokes but you.
We still give pretty girls preferential treatment.
But not on the show. Though.
Not on the show.
Have you ever taken a comedy class?
Never.
Is your take on them?
I want to, actually. I'm so broke, but I adore Bobby Oliver in L.A., and I really want to take her workshop just because I think she's a genius at joke writing, and I just feel like, you know, whatever she's doing, her idea is that she makes people more mindful of how to see the own comedy in your life, you know, or like, and so I would love to get on something like that. If you guys teach a class, like, I would love to, like, take a class. I mean, I don't think there's anything wrong with it.
They do call us the Bobby Oliver of San Diego. So if you want
to... We've often said that we would love to sit in on Joe Charles's class. He had one at the Madhouse, he's like, I won't let you guys do it. He wouldn't let us take it because he wants new comics, really.
Yeah. Right. Just like doing comedy, there's not one way to teach. So
no.
It's interesting to see other people's approach to teaching comedy.
Yeah.
I think the toughest part when we're teaching, and I know this is on a tangent, but is teaching the writing process. Because people always ask, like, how do you write a punchline? How do you come up with this? That's the difficult part. Like, I have much better, easier time teaching delivery.
Yeah,
you know,
okay,
what I mean?
That makes sense.
Like, let me point out what's going right, what's going wrong with the delivery. But the writing is a difficult process even for us, you know?
Yeah.
Right.
Well, and delivery is, honest to God, probably the most important thing about stand-up. Because people who don't sound organic on stage really have a hard time I don't know. You know what I mean? Like, you notice it as you're watching it. You're watching a script happen, and, like, who wants to – you want to laugh. You don't want to see that. But as you were saying with the writing process, everybody's is so different, you know.
Yeah.
That you can't.
But you could see the same format in those jokes on that show, that the writing style was similar?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was – I mean, it was just the usual, like – set up, you know, whatever, punch,
mm-hmm.
like just the three-tier jokes. There's no huge bits. And now maybe they will learn how to build on them and,
right.
you know, and do tags and stuff like that. But nothing was like that.
It was just a showcase in front of, like, everyone they invited, so they did really well, which would reinforce, like, keep doing it that way.
Sure,
In a negative way, sort of, that you'd go, oh, well, that worked. Because I think a lot of people don't realize when they first perform for all their friends or whatever, at a showcase where they've invited everyone, and they're sort of a bringer.
And, of course, their friends think they're hilarious.
Yeah, they laugh at everything they do. So I think it sort of ingrains, okay, that was the way to do it.
Yeah.
Well, I think a problem that we've been noticing is a lot of people take this class as more of just a bucket list thing. They do it that showcase,
That's true.
Haven't continued. You know, out of the, 25 students at this point, only like two or three are still doing it. So did you see a lot of those women doing comedy continuously?
No.
Yeah.
There's a few names that obviously come out and, like, they really want to do it. But as you guys know, they talk about this grind. The word grind has really become associated with stand-up comedy. Stand-up isn't something that you can kind of just dally in. I feel like if you want to do it, you have to do it.
Mm.
You know, and, like, it's fine if you're a lawyer by day and you want to do comedy at night, or if you're, you know, a construction worker by day and do comedy at night. But you have to – it's not like this little hobby. You know what I mean? Like, if you want to be good at it, you have to actually put the time and effort into it, and you have to.
Yeah. I think you're right, though. I think a lot of people are doing it so they could do it one time and sort of do it as a bucket list thing.
Right.
But then, ironically, like, some of them are pretty good at it naturally, and they don't continue. Whereas we'll see some people doing open mics for years, and they've sort of ingrained the bad habits, especially in their delivery, and continue to do it badly, and those people never take a class.
I know.
You know?
Yeah.
And I was wondering,
they
would probably get a lot more out of it because they're going to continue.
The ones that you're right. And, you know, I've watched some people that started, I watched a couple comics. I started with a couple people, and they were just awful. You know what I mean? There are two male comics that come to mind that are huge right now. I mean, huge. And I just think to myself,
girth-wise, or
just what they're doing, and I see them perform, and I'm like, they put the work in. They went out every night and were working on their delivery, working, like, learning what works, what doesn't, hanging out with veteran comics, learning, watching them, which is the same thing as taking a class, like, learning as you're doing, and, like, it blows my mind, you know, versus the people who just do use open mics and keep the
right. Well, you said you didn't. You still don't want to act. Is there anything other in the entertainment business that you want to get into?
Well, I would love to have my own show. That's different. That's not acting. You know what I mean? You're you. I think that's
like a reality show. Or
no, like
Chelsea Lately.
Like no. Well, I think I could do something like that.
That's not loud at all. I'm sure that.
I think it definitely got louder every time. I think
he says the mics don't pick that up, but I'm not sure if that's accurate.
Either way, so
either
good.
Way. But yeah, I would love that. Like, you know, like to me, 30 Rock, like I don't feel like Tina Fey, she has like that's like one character that she does all the time.
Yeah.
The awkward.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Something like that, or like, you know, when I watch shows like Seinfeld and Roseanne, I'm just like, God, shows used to be good.
I know.
Like, there's no
that's like all
good
I ever watch
shows now.
I love Roseanne, too.
Yeah, me too. It's like it's fucking solid. Yeah.
So you didn't like 30 Rock?
I love 30 Rock.
Oh, okay.
Brilliant. Oh, my God. Yeah. Love 30 Rock.
Because it seemed like Tina Fey was being herself? Do you think?
No, I was trying to say that would be a dream scenario.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Where if people didn't think I was just playing myself. Not that I think she has a lot of people fooled. I think she's also very classy and smart and together. But she plays, you know, food on her shirt really well.
Right.
She's so good.
That show would be a dream scenario.
Would you write for television?
Yeah, that's the primary goal, I think.
Have you put together a writing packet or anything like that?
Kind of, sort of. I had a 30 Rock spec that I wrote when I was 22, and a couple people read it, and they're like, why didn't you turn this in? And I'm like, I hate myself. I should have done something with it. But I have kind of my late-night stuff I've been putting together. And working on a screenplay, so.
Like, have you written monologue jokes?
No, I haven't written monologue jokes.
They're very difficult.
I've written topical jokes. It is hard.
It took me 3 hours to write 10 monologue jokes.
And then you hated all of them, right?
I liked one of them.
You liked one of them.
The rest was all crap, though. But it's just a different skill.
It is.
Because monologue jokes are just the hackiest jokes there is. Yeah. You know, it's just like exactly the way you knew it was going to go.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So Heather, we're actually getting to the end of the show. How can people follow you and find you online?
I'm on Twitter, always trying to.
What's your Twitter handle?
At Heather Turman, so my full name, T-U-R-M-A-N.
And you have a show at the office in
North Park? At the
office
Tuesday, North Park, every first and third Tuesday. So,
very nice.
Yeah.
So they can follow you on Twitter, you're on Facebook, and book Heather for shows.
Yeah, hell yeah.
And not just gay shows or women shows. She'll do anything.
Yeah.
That is not at a strip club, right?
Right.
Are you doing any strip clubs on the tour?
No.
That's too bad.
Drag shows.
Oh, that'll be fun.
Well, enjoy the tour. Thanks so much for coming
you guys
in.
So much. So.
Really great meeting you. Thank you for coming.
Jesse, thanks for coming back in and joining me.
Thanks for having me, buddy.
Yeah. So this is it. Comics.comedy with Jesse Egan and Heather Turman. You're listening to WSRadio.com, the worldwide leader in internet talk. See you next week. Beep.